evening, Green Bay Packers fans. The newest member of the Green Bay Packers is a defensive lineman from Southern Mississippi, the alma mater of Brett Favre. His name is Kyree Thornton. And to break this selection down, we have joining us on the phone, we have Paul Guillemette, Pigskin Paul, joining us. He did the defensive line profiles for our Pro Football Draft preview guide here at Cheesehead TV. Paul, how you doing this evening?
Hey, doing good tonight, Brian.
Good. Glad you could join us. All right, Paul, kind of a sleeper pick here, a guy probably not projected by many to be a third-round draft choice. Give me the skinny on, and I believe, can we get the name out of the way here, right? Is it Kyree Thornton?
Correct.
Okay, tell me about him.
Correct. Well, I had him as a late draftable pick, and there's a chance, and I'm guessing that this is what Ted Thompson and somebody on his scouting staff is thinking. He played on a horrible football team at Southern Miss this last season. In fact, Southern Miss has been on the downswing for a couple of years since Larry Fedora took the University of North Carolina job. And things just fell apart, and some kids transferred. And the bottom line is, I guess what we'll say in kindness about Kyree Thornton is a good athlete, a decent to good player who played on a really bad team and didn't have much around him to help him. I have read a couple of times that he has had a few run-ins, nothing that's sent him to jail or anything of that nature, but he has had a few off-field issues to deal with in his college career. And I would guess that the bottom line is simply the Packers obviously saw in him some above-average athleticism and the kind of athleticism that they feel they can convert into their defensive scheme. And therefore, they put a little bit higher value on him than some other people did. But let's be honest about it. In my opinion, especially in the last 3 or 4 years of the draft, there has been more and more of this kind of pick being made, this kind of player who didn't get accolades in college, who was not invited to the combine, who did not go to an all-star game.
He was at the combine.
Yes, and this guy was, exactly.
Maybe not an all-star game, but the combine.
And he had some decent measurables as well at the combine, showing some quickness and strong hands. But what I'm getting at is there are more than a few players that the general consensus seems to be they're late draftable, and, boy, at least 3 or 4 or 5 of them end up jumping into the third round because some teams see something in them that they feel is worth drafting, and they're concerned that others are going to see it too, and they can't wait till, let's say, the 5th or 6th round where I would have guessed Thornton would have gone. He has been a riser since we wrote our sections and I wrote the defensive line section way back in February, late February. He has indeed been gathering a little bit of momentum. I will say I'm a bit surprised, but I'm not going to say that I'm shocked. And unfortunately for the people that are looking for additional length in their defensive linemen, the Packers defensive linemen, we're not going to get it out of Kyree Thornton because he really fits the size mode of the Josh Boyds and people of that ilk that the Packers have drafted lately, because again, he's about 6'2" and 5/8" tall, 305 pounds, and he has 32.5 inch arms, which isn't bad, but again, he's not bringing any additional length that has been talked about significantly for the Packers.
I would assume he would be the type of five technique kind of player. I mean, 6'3" is not bad. It's not bad. You know, it's not good. It's, you know, kind of, you know, moderate. I mean, you want over 300 pounds, I would think, for that five technique. Do you think that's where he fits in?
I think it does. The other thing that when I see him and when I think about what I have seen of him on game film, the other thing that comes to mind for me, Brian, in the Packers scheme is he would also seem to me to be one of those guys that when they so constantly go to their two-man defensive line, he's kind of that tweener where he's got a little bit more athleticism than some of the five techniques you see. And he would strike me as somebody at his size, with his dimensions, and with his heavy hands and his athleticism, reasonable athleticism, he'd be a good fit when they're trying to get by with two defensive linemen. You know, he's going to give you more quickness than B.J. Raji if you leave Raji out on the field, or a Ryan Pickett who's gone, even a Johnny Jolly. For instance, the stat that I think was most impressive that I saw on him from the combine is that for his size and his build, he had a 10-yard split of 1.78 seconds. That's not too bad for a 305-pound defensive lineman.
Paul, the thing that immediately strikes me is perhaps the futures of a couple guys you mentioned, Ryan Pickett and Johnny Jolly. Now, they were kind of the defensive tackle slash defensive end, you know, depended whether they were in base or nickel or whatever. But I mean, both these guys are free agents. Is this signaling the end of their run in Green Bay?
I think that's a good possibility, Brian. That was one of the things that popped into my mind when I look at his size and his skill set and his potential. I can't help but think that it does not bode well for Johnny Jolly and Ryan Pickett being any kind of significant targets for the Packers to resign. You know, maybe the Packers already have, quote, the bad news that Jolly isn't going to pass a physical anytime soon. And I have seen Ryan Pickett's name come up several times down here in Central Florida, where I now live, that he's down here doing promotional work. And he's doing clinics for high school kids getting ready to go off to college and things of that nature. Didn't sound to me like a guy that was expecting to return to the Green Bay Packers or even the NFL this summer for training camp.
I'm looking through his stats here. I see as a sophomore, we got 9 tackles for a loss. As a junior, we have 9.5 tackles for a loss over the season. As a senior, cut down a little bit, 6.5. Kind of looks like the guy that can get into a backfield a little bit, would you say?
Yes. And I think I refer to him as a one-gap player. And I think, again, one of the things that I have seen a little bit myself and I have read from other people is he gets his penetration because he does have a violent, strong hand punch. And if he can anticipate the snap quickly enough and get his body in motion and wham the offensive lineman with those strong hands, they get rocked. And he's got his shot to get through that gap and get into the backfield.
You mentioned the one gap kind of player. Now, traditionally, the Dom Capers defense has been a two-gapping type of defense.
Right.
I mean, what are we seeing here in Green Bay? Are they going to a one-gap system, or is this just kind of a thing where one gap in passing situations where, you know, he's going to try to get after the quarterback? What do you see there?
I can't tell you anything that I've heard that really pins down what I think is going on, but I'm sure you're still back up in Wisconsin, and you see and read a lot more than I do and hear a lot more. But it seems to me, Brian, whether we know yet exactly what it is, for instance, they keep talking about, you know, the modified elephant position for Julius Peppers. I just have a feeling that Mike McCarthy really got into Don Capers' ears and gave him some homework assignments of some things that he wants to see changed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's telling Don exactly how to change them, because I don't think Mike is so presumptuous that he's going to pretend that he's a defensive coordinator in hiding. He's an offensive guy. But I clearly think, and I do remember reading an article or a quote within an article, that one of the toughest meetings that Mike McCarthy had at the end of the season was his conversations with Don Capers, because he was, it sounded like, without him saying exactly, he was laying down the law that maybe this is the last go-round, and if the Don Capers defense doesn't get more productive and put up some better numbers on turnovers and against the run and all the things that we've complained about, that, you know, maybe it's going to be a really tough conversation next year when he has to let him go. And I'm extrapolating here, but I guess what I'm getting at is I don't know exactly what Don Capers is coming up with, but I sense very strongly, and this kind of reinforces it in a small way, that there are going to be some significant changes in how Don Capers scapes, plans, implements his defense. I just don't know what they are.
Paul, we're talking to Paul Guillemette of PigskinPaul.com and the Pro Football Draft Preview, our draft guide here at Cheesehead TV. He does the defensive line profiles in addition to the interior offensive line. But Paul, as you were watching the draft unfold, I kind of just made my who I thought the Packers might take, or I guess who they should take, in my opinion, in my humble opinion. But, you know, I was saying Carl Bradford of Arizona State was out there, and then the pair of cornerbacks, Pierre Desir and Antoine Exum. Those were the top guys on my board. I don't think anybody thought Thornton was going this early. I mean, who did you like at this point?
I agree with you. I think this is a surprise, both from the standpoint of the position he plays and the rating that most people had him at. Brian, I'm going to say it. I love Ted Thompson, and chances are, better than 50-50, he'll be right on this. But in my honest opinion, this is a reach, and it better pay off, as opposed to their first two picks in the draft. I think those picks were right on. I think they fit the Packers schemes. I think they qualified from a talent at the pick standpoint. This is a reach. I because I'm a Packer fan at heart, I hope it works out. But, yeah, I would have said to you that I could easily name, a half dozen guys that I would have been more interested. If they were going to take a defensive lineman, I would have been more interested in Daquan Jones from Penn State, who I think has some of the same qualities that this guy has, but he's been more consistent and more productive. Maybe a Brent Urban, the real long, lean, five technique defensive end from Virginia. I just really, to be honest with you, it threw me, because I also didn't expect them, even with those names I just gave you, I didn't think defensive line, when they added two veteran free agents and brought back most of their younger guys, I just really didn't think that this is where they were going. Like you say, maybe they would have taken one of the young, small school cornerbacks like Walt Akins or Pierre Desir was still out there. So, you know, they've got one more pick coming up before the third round is over. So maybe they'll make us happy and pick something a little that we would have expected a little bit more. But right now, I guess I would say I'm with you. I'm a little little surprised and maybe a little disappointed at that particular pick. Glad to be talking to you, but I'd rather be talking to you about Kyrie Thornton about 5 o'clock tomorrow night.
Yeah, I agreed the same. Puzzling this early. Is this a, you know, just a direction of the Packers' defense as a whole? They've now, out of the first 3 picks, they spent 2 on the defensive side of the football and trying to improve that side more so than your emphasis on offense.
Right, right. Exactly. But again, it's early. They've only made 3 picks, and as I just said to you, not that it's my position area, but obviously I'm rating all these guys. I think their first 2 picks were excellent value picks, not reaches in the least. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, we got to give Ted a hall pass on a couple of the picks and figure that he and his staff know a little bit more than we do.
Paul, you did the offensive interior guys. Of the guys left on the interior offensive line, just briefly, I mean, who would be the top interior lineman you'd like to see the Packers take? Let's say, you know, they're up in a few picks and they address center or something. Who would be that guy who's still left on the board?
The guy that I would like to see at their next pick here and their, you know, the compensatory pick here, before the third round is over, if they go offensive line, and, you know, let's face it, there are an awful lot of people that think you don't necessarily need to draft an offensive center very high, if at all. You can convert people over there. But if from the question you just asked me, two guys that I would be interested in seeing them consider, if they go offensive line interior, would be my 86th ranked player, which is Trey Turner, the underclassman guard coming out of LSU, who tested out very well at the combine.
He just went. The 92nd pick to the Panthers.
Oh, there you go. Okay, well, that takes care of him. Then I'll move on to my next guy. And my one other guy that I think is well worth a pick at this stage for them would be Russell Bodine, the offensive center from North Carolina, who is also an underclassman. I had him as my 97th ranked player, and he's the guy that put up 42 reps on the bench press at the combine. Brian, one of the things that I really like about Russell Bodine has nothing to do with any of the numbers that we can put down on paper for him as a workout warrior. What I like about Russell Bodine is everything I have heard and seen, and I watched a few UNC games, this guy has the temperament of Josh Sitton. And in my opinion, I like technicians, but it wouldn't hurt the Green Bay Packers to have a few more guys with an attitude like Josh Sitton on their roster.
Yeah, especially the direction they're going with the addition of Eddie Lacy. They've got a formidable run game now and could use a guy like that. Paul, before I let you go, last question here, seeing as, you know, we started talking about Kyrie Thorne and got away from it a little. But, I mean, if we had to project, you know, what kind of role is he going to play as a rookie? How much is he going to play? Yeah, just guessing.
I think at best he becomes a rotational, you know, part of the rotation. I would guess, to be honest with you, again, unless I've totally misjudged this guy and they found one of the steals of the draft, I would think, Brian, that he's on the roster because he's got enough talent and enough rep out there that he would be a guy, I would believe, that if they cut him, he's not making it back to their practice squad. He's going to make somebody's roster. He'll be down near the end of the roster because, obviously, at his size, I don't see him as much of a special teams player. So he's going to have to make his living. I would say to you, Brian, I would expect until or if injuries would hit the defensive line group, I would expect that if the Packers keep, let's say, 7 defensive linemen, which they have traditionally done, then he's going to be the 7th defensive lineman, and he's going to be inactive until somebody gets hurt and they need to put him in there. I just wouldn't, again, I wouldn't expect much immediately from Thornton. I think even if he's as good as they apparently think he is, they're going to have to work with him, and they're going to have to put some time in, and probably, from what I have seen, the biggest friend for Kyrie Thornton on the Packers is going to be the guys in the weight and the trainer's room.
Yeah, yeah. Paul, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate everything you've done for the draft guide and talking to us here. I anticipate maybe we'll talk to you again, but you never know in the NFL draft here.
You never know, do you? Yeah, exactly. There have been a lot of surprises, including the pick. Like I said to you, I would not have expected to be talking to you tonight about Kyrie Thornton.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, if I don't talk to you again, I appreciate it, but we'll keep you on hold if they pick another D lineman or an interior lineman.
There you go. I'll be around.
All right. Thanks a lot, Paul. Take care.
Thanks for having me, Brian. Take care.
Paul Guillemette. Pigskin Paul on Twitter. Give him a follow. At pigskinpaul.com is his website. He also does some work at allgreenbaypackers.com, I know. And maybe one kind of thought I might leave you here with you for this pick, Kyrie Thornton. Looking at the Packers' defensive line as a whole, you know, Johnny Jolly, Ryan Pickett are free agents. The Packers brought back B.J. Raji, but only a one-year contract. They're kind of running thin on the run stuffer kind of defensive linemen and are collecting, you know, the pass rushers, you know, with Daytone Jones, with Mike Daniels, with Jarrell Worthy. There's no shortage of pass rushers on this Packers team. Now they got to start getting some run stuffers, as you know, if they're not going to re-sign Pickett and Jolly, they need some guys to stuff the run, and maybe Kyrie Thornton in time can be that kind of guy. He's got decent size right now. Can he add a little? I'm not sure. But I mean, him to go along with Josh Boyd, we'll see the future of B.J. Raji. And then, you know, they added LaTroy Guyon and free agency as well. But just kind of one last little thing there. And again, I'll leave you with the profile from Nolan Naraki of NFL.com on Kyrie Thornton here. His strengths, and Paul said something very similar here, quote, flashes shock in his hands, solid anchor strength, versatile and lines up all along the front. Flashes speed and short area burst to flatten down the line and close to the ball. 3-year starter. His weaknesses: has short arms and small hands, could do a better job working off blocks, creating separation and protecting his legs, tends to wear down and tire late in games and effort wanes, needs to develop more pass rush moves, stays blocked too long, relies too much on his upper body strength, can be late to locate the ball and needs to do a better job of feeling blocking pressure and anticipating, misses a lot of tackles, minimal sack production. The bottom line here, has the size, brute strength, and enough agility to warrant interest as a developmental rotational five technique in an aggressive zone blitzing scheme such as the Jets, Ravens, or Steelers. Versatility is a plus, end quote. So there you go. Kyrie Thornton, the newest member of the Green Bay Packers, a defensive lineman, and we will find out more about the next player the Packers take shortly here on the live version of this show. Thank you all, everybody who's turning in right now live during the draft, or you know, if you're checking out the podcasted version, we certainly appreciate that as well. However you're digesting our content, I'll be back shortly once again for Pigskin Paul and everybody else. Thanks for listening, folks. I leave you today with a song called Nemo by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records.